is the Freight and Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, where we alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sinful of the state as a matter of your head. Put on your 3D glasses now. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a PIPCOT no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at PIPCOT.org. And I'm here with James Weeks. The second.
That's me.
Yeah. I hope you're getting that, taking good care of that tuxedo man thong.
I am.
Long story. Yeah. So how are things in Weeks Land?
They are good. They are good.
Yeah. So there's this interesting story. This is from Fox News. Fox News. Of course, this would be on Fox News. I'm sorry. This headline. Florida sheriff gets thank you note from mother of arrested teen girl.
Only in Florida.
Florida woman. No.
This is your Florida woman story here.
Yeah.
Wow.
A teen's arrest in Florida for underage drinking led to a surprise letter for the local sheriff. A thank you note from the girl's mother. Like, really, like, your mama is so statist, really.
Seriously. This is crazy.
The Walton County Sheriff's Office received the note last week. Sheriff Michael Atkinson Jr. wrote on Facebook, in the letter from the unnamed mom, the officer said the officers were respectful and gave her daughter the treatment she deserved.
Ooh.
How dare my daughter drink? Throw her in a cage, right? And I really don't know what the laws are. I know around drugs it's a whole lot worse. Like a conviction can really ruin your life for drugs. I don't know about underage drinking. I don't know, but you know, like having your kid arrested for doing drugs is probably the worst thing you can do.
It is,
you know, it'll ruin their chance of getting a career, getting formal education. It's terrible. You, like what they say, you can get over an addiction, but you can't get over a conviction.
Exactly, exactly. So once you have that on your record, you're pretty much, you're done.
Yeah. The arrest scared the, and this is, by the way, the emphasis is not mine. This is like in the article. The arrest scared the hell out of her, and I'm hoping that she learned her lesson. The reason I am sending you this is that every officer I talked to, or that I could hear in the background talking to her, was so nice, part of the letter read. The girl and several other spring breakers were arrested March 15th. Public information officer Corey DeBonera told Fox 10. She was holding a can of beer on the beach, a stupid move that I wanted her, that I warned her about before she left, but I am just her mother. So in one ear and out the other, the letter continued. Each and every officer was respectful and assured me that she would get back to her house safely. For moms hundreds of miles away, that was very reassuring. Arresting a girl is very respectful, I guess. I don't know how this works.
No, they published the letter on their Facebook page here for the Sheriff's Department. And I got it pulled up here. Got the whole thing in its entirety. The letter goes, in this day, cops, in quote, are getting a bad rep. Why would you put cops in quotes?
Allegedly.
Allegedly, they're cops. They're cops, in quote. Like, really? All right, lady. So I wanted to say thank you again, in quotes. Allegedly, like. Okay.
Cops, so what is thank you. No, maybe this isn't maybe so bad after all.
Maybe it's really sarcastic. I don't know. Yesterday, my daughter was one of those thousands of spoiled spring breakers, quote, living it up on the beach. She got arrested for underage drinking. She was holding a can of beer on the beach, a stupid move that I warned her about before she left. But I'm her mother, so in one ear and out the other. The arrest scared the hell, all caps, out of her, and I'm hoping she learned her lesson. The reason that I'm sending this is that every officer that I talked to or that I could hear in the background talking to her was so nice. Firm but nice. I'm sure each one was rolling their eyes when my daughter said, "Can you talk to my mom?" But each and every officer was respectful and assured me that she would get back to her house safely. For a mom,
was respected in quotes too.
No, unfortunately, no. For a mom hundreds of miles away, that was reassuring. I know all you all have to deal with this on a daily basis, which must be completely annoying. And I'm very sorry my daughter added to your workload yesterday. They say you always have one child that makes you go gray early, and she is mine. Thank you for saving me a few more gray hairs last night.
Yeah, my daughter being in jail really put me to rest.
That really gets rid of the grays.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I think this is absolutely terrible. But then again, maybe this was a completely condescending letter with all the quotation marks, or maybe she's just really bad at grammar. I mean, she did all caps hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the beginning, the first sentence of it does kind of seem like it might be a little condescending, putting caps in quotes and thank you in quotes. But allegedly. Oh, yeah. Allegedly. Yeah, it's... Wow. just wow.
Yeah.
You got to be really messed up to be happy that your child got arrested. That's got to...
Yeah. So I don't know if she called the cops, which I'm really doubtful. She said that she was hundreds of miles away, but she somehow still knew that she was walking around with a beer can in her hand. So I'm guessing that she probably posted that on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram. Like, I don't know why your mom would be on Snapchat, but she probably posted it on something, and then she saw it and was like, "Hey, did you get that beer out of your hand?" And, you know, it's possible that she did call the police over there and be like, "She's drinking."
What it sounds like is the daughter may have called her mom when she was getting arrested.
Oh.
And asked the cops to talk to her mom.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of sounds like from the letter, but I don't know. And that does kind of seem like a normal response there, is to call your mom when you're scared and frightened, and then your mom is happy that you're getting arrested. I mean,
yeah.
I really feel bad for this daughter. As much as we can laugh at the mom, but...
And boy, can we.
we can really laugh at the mom with this. Yeah. But this daughter was totally abused by this. This is terrible. And how public this has gone now. Now this daughter has it in the news.
Yeah.
That her mom was happy that she was arrested. Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know how under it. I don't think it mentions the age of the woman in here. Maybe I missed it. No. So I'm guessing she probably was an adult, but let's say that she was like in high school or something, or maybe college. She's probably going to go around and hang out with her peers, and her peers are going to be like, or friends are going to be like, "Ha ha, your mom ratted you out and the cops that arrested you." You know, that could be a little bit. That's not good.
No.
I don't really know what's worse, sending the letter to the cops or the cops releasing it publicly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the cops want to be like, "Hey, look, people don't hate us."
Yeah. But in the end, she did kind of luck out, because there's a lot of times where cops will do, put things on their record that they can't recover from when they do things like this. You know, if you're looking for a job, you know, one of the things they ask you is like, "Have you been arrested, or have you been convicted mm-hmm. of a felony?" And if, you know, this was alcohol, so it's probably not a felony, but, you know, if she had a little bit of weed on her, or, you know, spring break, you know, maybe a little dibbing and dabbing and something like, you know, how did Barack Obama put it? Just a little blow. Yeah. Like, you know, that could have completely destroyed her forever, you know.
And this an arrest is still an arrest. That's every time she fills out a job application. Have you ever been arrested? Yeah.
Yep. And that does not look good on a resume.
No.
It does not look good on a job application. Yeah, so this is not good. But, you know, it could be worse. She could have called the cops. I don't know. There's no evidence that she did, so I'm not going to say that she did. But it's highly doubtful that she did as well. But don't call the cops on your kid. That's a terrible thing to do. Even if the conviction thing, you know, doesn't happen, there's a lot of times where people will call the cops because, you know, someone's acting out, or they think that it's in their best interest for, you know, to have a little tough love and scare their kid. What's the term that they use? I mean, I think it is tough love.
They're scared straight, as they have.
Yeah, scared straight.
Yeah.
But there's often times where people will call the cops, you know, thinking like, okay, the cops will come over here and scare them straight. What ends up happening is you get arrested. Right. for, you know,
someone gets arrested or someone gets shot even.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the worst case scenario.
And it, like, and when you, there's so many cases of like a parent calling the cops on like a suicidal kid, mm-hmm. and the cops show up and kill the kid. They're trying to save their kid. They're trying to keep their kid from dying. And what do the cops do? They show up and just shoot the kid.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't kill yourself. We have to do that. Like, what? Don't call the cops on your kid's parents.
Yeah. Maybe the best reason to call the police when something's going on is after there's already been a break-in, and you need to have some sort of proof that there was a break-in for your insurance. That's about it.
If you need a report for the insurance, you need a police report for your insurance agency, by all means, yeah, call the cops afterward. Make sure that you're not, like, making any sudden movements or, you know, fidgeting or any kind of thing.
Don't put your hands in your pocket.
Don't put your hands in your pockets. You know, matter of fact, just stay outside or something. I don't know. Like, don't let them come inside. Or I don't really know how you could go about making a police report for that without inviting them in. But definitely be safe out there when you're dealing with the police.
And don't send them thank you notes.
No, no, definitely don't.
Because they won't publicly shame your children.
Meow. You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Trigger Weens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by BIPCOT. Thank you for being a fiend.
Sound checks on the radio are a hate crime. I was told that today.
Uh-oh.
So, I was listening to you guys giving legal advice.
For pure entertainment purposes only, of course.
Yeah, this is not legal advice, but here's what I would do. Here's what I've done when someone broke in, if I had to. You don't call the police, you go into the police station, you guys, you kids. You don't. If you go into the police station to file a police report when you've been, you know, robbed or your car has been stolen or whatever, they're probably not even going to show up at your property to check it out. They'll generally take your word for it. But
it's probably a good idea.
If they do.
Oh, wrong one.
You know, if they do, you have some leeway. You can, you know, take down your F the Sal posters and your BIPCOT no government license poster. And some people leave that stuff up because they're true. But, you know, I think it's better to kind of put a straight, normal, nerdy, dorky, all-American face. You know, cover your BIPCOT with an American flag. Keep one up. Keep one in the basement for that.
Yeah. Well, would I There was a brief moment in time that I was
statist.
No, that was, I drove a really nice Cadillac car, and being a young kid driving a Cadillac car, I tend to get pulled over a lot.
Cop magnet, yeah.
It was a cop magnet, like nothing else. So I actually used to like keep stuff like that in the car, so that when I'd get searched, because they'd always want to search me, young kid driving a Cadillac car, and they'd always be dragging me out, throwing me in the back, searching my car. Like, we got probable. I got some stories about them trying to claim what was probable cause to search me. When I'd be like, "Why are you searching me?
Looking for the product, thinking every like, teen is selling like narcotic."
No, there was one time it was so funny. The cop asked me if I had any weapons, and I said no. And he's like, "You hesitated. That's probable cause," and dragged me out of the car. That's what he. And then it was so funny. Oh, he was such a terrible person. But I used to keep like Bibles in the center console and stuff like that, just and American paraphernalia all over the place, just to make it so that that's what they find when they're searching my car.
Do you keep your gun in a hollowed out Bible?
Plead the fifth.
Yeah, God is on my side.
You know, it's really, I think trying to keep stuff like that around in your car when it's like something that tends to get you searched a lot is probably a good idea. But again,
for entertainment purposes only.
Apparently, we forgot to do that last segment. But
I think you should read. People should read the book "You and the Police" by Boston Tea Party. It has the best advice of any of the books I've read or videos I've seen of how to deal with the cops, avoid the cops, and not end up in a cell if you get caught by the cops, while still, while still asserting your rights. And it's kind of the template for Cop Block, for the organization Cop Block. Those guys have read it, but. You know, the guy who started Cop Block is in a cage right now, and the guy who wrote You and the Police is not in a cage and hasn't been, as far as I know, the whole time I've known him, years. So
yeah, well, I don't think Boston Tea Party is driving around with possession or selling. I don't know if that's the right term. Selling quantities, yeah, selling quantities of drugs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm pretty sure he's not. He's kind of square, man. Yeah. But one of the things he said, and this kind of flies in the face of like the sovereign citizen idea, but he says make your car
sovereigns.
You know, make sure that your license is in registration or up to date. Make sure your car is clean. Go through the car wash every once in a while. Don't have, you know, food wrappers on the floor. Have it look really square and really straight. And he actually recommended having like a normal haircut, which is kind of normal right now, too. Like a lot of like weird, cool hipster people have kind of normal haircuts. But this book was written a while back.
Or do they have Nazi haircuts?
Oh. It's not a Nazi a haircut. Point. The dude had brain cancer. Give him a break. What
are you talking about? Who's this?
No, if you Google Nazi haircut, like that's the haircut that like every hipster,
Richard Spencer,
every hipster in the world has right now is if you Google Nazi haircut, the haircut that comes up, everyone's wearing. So like, how did that come in style?
It kind of is.
If you can imagine the typical kind of Republican kind of parted haircut, it looks like that, but the sides are buzzed off. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
But real quick, yeah, there was a Samantha Bee had done a thing where she pointed out this guy has a Nazi haircut, and it turned out he really didn't. It was just because he had stage 4 brain cancer. She had to retract it. Yeah.
That's so funny when SJWs are wrong about that kind of stuff. And meow yourself.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Say that I answer the phone on radio all the time by saying
one of those.
It's actually kind of an imitation, an exaggeration of an old black bluesman. Yeah.
You don't learn the blues, you feel them.
And you can't play the blues on a guitar that's never been in a pawn shop. It's true.
These are grandpa's guitars.
Worms. Yeah. So I've got a commitment that I'm gonna basically keep to on the radio. Is I don't think I'm ever gonna play music on the radio again. I may try one thing because it sounds really bad, like all the compression on GCN's end. I thought it was the compression on my end. But I played that new advertisement last night, the, you know, please donate money, help the fiends, and help the kitty cats. That one? Yeah. I played that last night. It just sounded bad because the music. The compressors on talk radio are set up for, like, blowhards that all kind of talk at the same volume like us. They are not very good for the nuances of, you know, pretty piano music or really any kind of music. So last night I took off the compressor on my side and just used the compressor on the GCN side. And it still sounded bad on the MP3, which means it sounds bad going out on radio. What I may try sometime when I'm more in a experimental mood is actually have the board op turn off the compressor on the GCN side and try playing some music, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So I was incorrect last night. Did you guys hear last night's show?
I hadn't had a chance to do it. I was really complaining that all my podcasts have kind of faded out a little bit, and then it just blew up yesterday, so I couldn't catch up. Like right after I said it.
Yeah. Oh, I thought. Oh, after you told me that. Okay.
Yeah. There was even a school sucks that came out too.
Yeah. Well, I thought we'd won. I thought all the other podcasts had packed it up and gone home because we're so great. Okay, so I don't have any I was wrongs, but I have an I was unclear. When I was listening today to the show, I was listening to the part where I was talking about the program Signal that we played. We had fun with Signal the other night. James and I did. Remember, James?
Yes, that was fun. They did an update on it, though.
I remember.
Who did? Oh, the program?
The program's updated, and I think that they just did it yesterday, I believe they put an update in, and I do not believe that it has the band name generator anymore.
Oh, we got to try it. Let's pull out your phone right now, James. I'll call you.
Make sure yours is up to date.
Ah, okay.
Make sure you update it. The logo will be different, and that's how you'll know you'll have the most up-to-date version is the logo and your app. The logo will be different.
My logo is not different. Okay, I'll update it during the break.
Update it during the break, and then we'll try it out in the next segment.
So, the thing I
said, they did add encrypted video calling.
Oh, yeah. I was reading their website. That was in beta. It was a special beta version you could download, but okay.
They brought that out to the masses.
I have no need to do that.
I checked it out the other day. It was actually pretty cool.
How's it look compared to, you know, Skype video, say?
Compared to Skype video, it's relatively comparable to Skype, really. It didn't seem to have too much.
Excellent.
But I had good signal, though. I'm sure that just like Skype, if you didn't have good signal, it would be terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, they all adjust to the signal. And the where Fiendphone doesn't. Fiendphone, you need a good signal, and it works great. And if you don't have a good signal, it really doesn't work, which is by design.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just not for...
It did the same thing that like Skype would do, where it'll sacrifice video to save audio, which is good.
Yeah, and that's a tip I have for people. If you're ever doing, you know, recording a podcast over a video chat program that has audio chat too, if you really don't need the video chat, turn it off and you'll get better audio. It may not be apparent immediately, but if you have any like kind of glitches in your signal, in your internets between you and the other person at any point in it, with when you're using video, it'll get kind of crunchy audio-wise. But if you just have the audio, it's more likely to be solid audio. But, you know, these young men today, they want to see, you know, when you got four neckbeards talking about Rothbard vaping, they all have to see each other because it's so fascinating.
I can't stand video chat. I'd rather just have my phone in my pocket, have my little earpiece in, and just be done and just chat.
I mean, I've actually, it's bizarre. It's like, like these kids today, they don't even know that you can have audio only chat. Like when I was talking to Volushka about getting her on the show, I was like, well, you know, I've seen your videos. They sound cool. Let's talk a little bit on Skype first. And she said, oh, I don't have my webcam. I lent it to a friend of mine. It's not built into my computer. I can't do it. And I'm like, yes, you can. I know what you look like. I don't need to stare at you while you talk. So, you know.
Maybe she's probably used to people only wanting to stare at her while she chats.
She's cute. Yeah, it's true. She probably thinks that talking involves video, that it has to, because everyone wants to. You're right. So the one thing I was unclear on about Signal was the key pair words when I was saying, you know, when you connect, you see two words and the other person confirms it, which may have changed, but we don't, this is news to me. We're going to check it. Phil said, I've used it and I've never seen that. Now, listening back, I think Phil has probably only used it for text, and this only happens when you use it for audio, or maybe for video too, but it does not happen for text. So
yeah, it doesn't happen for text.
So I was unclear.
Yeah. I don't know. So what were you unclear about?
That's it. I cleared it up. Were you not listening? I cleared it up. I cleared it up that I guess I didn't make it clear that you see the pair of words that you need to confirm only on audio chat, on phone calls on Signal, not on text only chats.
Okay.
Well, that's it doesn't show up at all on there. But the great thing about what I did notice, I was listening to the show, and you did bring up the fact that it is, because the only way it's really, because people are giving it a bad rap saying it's not secure because of the latest Fault 7 thing, but the only way it's not secure is if they actually have infected your phone with malware and have compromised your device itself.
Yeah.
The encryption is still good.
Yeah.
So and there is actually, I would really like to recommend this to everyone out there, is that routinely wipe your device. Do a complete wipe as often as you can get away with doing it on your device to clear up any potential malware you may have that you've gotten. Because you go to websites, you're probably going to end up with a little bit of malware. Even if your antivirus doesn't trigger, you probably are going to have something. And wiping your device is a great way to get rid of all that kind of stuff. Off the bat, boom, there you go.
Yeah, the other thing was that the Vault 7 thing was really talking about Android devices that were like 4.0 and like less.
Yeah.
This was like
iPhone has already Apple said that they've already patched the thing that was talked about in that vault. Yeah. You know, I have a thought too.
Allegedly.
What's the possibility that the CIA would put in false information, allow it to be hacked to make people think they shouldn't use encryption?
That's entirely possible. I think the other thing that they were talking about was maybe that these things were about to be leaked anyway, and so that the CIA dumped the Vault 7 stuff intentionally to try to kind of do damage control to get everybody to start patching the stuff out before those tools got leaked out to the public. So you know, it's not just them that have it allegedly. It's all allegedly, but that's just kind of one of the theories that was floating around. Signal is safe. It's not compromised. And don't be one of those people like, I want to track my tax return, so I'm going to install the IRS app. Bad idea. Bad idea.
Yeah, I would
use your TurboTax and be done with it.
I would. Well, first of all, I don't use TurboTax. I hire a guy, which if you make more than, you know, people.
Yeah.
If you have assets, basically, you know, and also I have a kind of complicated business where I do a bunch of different things that trickle in a little money that equal like what I'd make managing a pizza parlor, maybe, or not, you know, working at a pizza parlor. But someone who works at a pizza parlor just gets one form from the government. I have like 20 things that have to be accounted for. Plus we file as a couple, plus we file, you know, we own a house and things like that. So it's a little more complicated. I think it's worth it in that case to pay someone $250 a year to do your taxes, because they tend to find enough, you know, not like businesses have, like, oh, we found, you know, not like the kind of tax things that Trump finds, but I'm just saying, like, common people business things. I'm positive from comparing our taxes before someone did it for us to after, it's worth it to pay the $250 a year to do it. And the $250 a year is tax deductible.
Well, that's for your situation, though. Not everyone would have that similar situation. Right. It would be a lot better to just use TurboTax for the average W-2 earner kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That- I was also going to say that every app you add decreases the security of your phone.
Only install apps that you actually need, because every app is another point.
Or Freedom Fiends.
Yeah. So install all the Freedom Fiends apps. But
yeah, they're secure. Allegedly.
I was just about to.
I beat you to it.
He beat me to it.
Yeah.
But like every app you install so that's another reason why it's a good thing to just routinely wipe your phone, like I was saying, because
how do you clear those out? Don't just say do that. How do you do that? At least on an Android phone.
It would be in your settings. So we're
both talking at the same time. Jim, it'll be in your settings. Let him tell how to really do it.
Okay. It'll be in your settings. Also, you can just go into Google and put your device in and put how to wipe in Google, and you should be able to pull up step-by-step instructions. But while I'm on here, you just go to settings and you look for your. Let me look through here right in mine. It should be under your storage settings. And then you should see something in there that says, well, mine doesn't have it in storage. It may be somewhere else in here. I'm not exactly sure on this device. I just got a new device. So before you try and call me, you know, a hypocrite or whatever, I just got this device 2 days ago.
I'm not calling you a hypocrite. I'm saying you are incomplete. I think the best part of this whole thing was search how do I wipe and then the name of your device.
There's this wonderful website, and everybody should go and check it out.
Everything you just said, actually.
Oh, here it is. In user and backup on Android 6.0.1, it'll be in your user and backup settings.
Yeah, not everyone has that.
Should be up there, but not everyone has that.
That version.
Go to this website, google.com, and then search for it. Every tutorial you possibly want is on that website.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only voluntarist media university. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world, and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
So in the last segment, I was talking about wiping your device. And I don't know if I was unclear about what I mean when I'm saying to routinely wipe your device. I'm talking about doing a complete factory data reset.
He said wipe.
To completely restore the device back to your factory settings. Wipe all the stuff except go back. Wait,
you are saying go back to factory settings or not?
Yeah, I'm saying go back to factory. Really? Go back really? To factory. Yeah.
That was so not clear in the last segment, man. So not segment. I was actually going to come on and say, okay, make sure, you know, do what he did, but make sure you don't reset to factory settings.
No, yeah.
Go back to factory. Because if you go back to factory settings, don't you have to reinstall all of your apps and then reset,
find all your settings? That's the whole point. That's the whole point. You go back to exactly how it came. You get rid of all your apps because your apps may be infected. So then you only install the ones that you actually use and need, because as you go with your device over years and years of use, or even months of use, you'll install an app you might not need or use anymore anyway. And you'll want to get rid of all of that kind of stuff, because that stuff may be compromised. It may be infected with malware, and then your signal's not secure.
I think the best thing to do is to, before you do your factory reset, is to go into your Google Play Store and wipe out all the things from, quote unquote, your apps, and wipe those out first, and then go back and then do a factory reset, because there's a lot of times where Google will say, like, oh, welcome back, let's install all of your apps again, and then you're just back to square one.
Yeah, I have a better idea, gentlemen, and this is coming from experience, from talking to people who, let's say, do things for a living that require a secure phone. Have a separate burner phone that only has signal on it, period.
That's a good idea.
That's an unbelievably good idea. You could buy one for $20. And don't install
the App Store.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You don't even Just install the APK.
Brian Sovereign.
Go ahead.
Oh, Brian Sovereign has a great tutorial on his website called the Dark Android Project. If you really want to secure down your device, go do
that. That's so complicated that if you want to be doing what he's suggesting, I'd suggest you don't use phones at all. Just use a Linux desktop. Seriously, I read that article. Okay. Man, it's really, I don't know, if you're that kind of person. Yeah, put it this way. That is not, the average person is going to either not be able to do what's in that tutorial or do something wrong so they don't have as much security as they think they do.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking, doing this is not for like your awesome security. This is just to make sure that you're not infected with stuff, because people do things on their cell phones. People do a lot of banking on their cell phones. People pay bills on their cell phones.
It's unbelievable
how much stuff people do on their cell phones. Man. And you really want to have a secure device and for that kind of stuff. Like, you may not be too worried about government spying on you, but you should be.
I would have one for, you know, be like Walter White plus one. Have three cell phones.
So you're saying everyone acts like they're drug dealers?
Yes. Well, you know,
I got three cell phones, man.
I would say, if you want to really have security, I think you need to act like a drug dealer, even if you're not a drug dealer. You know, I was going to talk about this yesterday, but we got so sidetracked that I never even got it out. I wanted to talk about the idiocy of people who actually are drug dealers and why they get caught. My wife works as a paralegal, and part of her job is reading police reports from surveillance with a warrant, you know, when they think someone's dealing and they wiretap them and transcribe every phone call. It's ridiculous. They're talking on open phone calls using, what was the one code, baby? Cheesecake. Yeah, like, hey, I really like that cheesecake. My cousin wants some of your cheesecake. Can you make some more cheesecake? Like,
can we say that on radio?
They think that that's going to keep them from getting in trouble. You know, when they could just have a $20 burner phone that has signal on it and teach people to use signal.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them would flip and just show the police what's on their signal. So,
well, you could just do text messages that are deleting themselves text messages.
But can you make the other person's do that? Or is it just
yeah,
on your side?
No, once you do it, it deletes on the other side.
Okay.
When you send a self-deleting text, it deletes it on theirs.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Just finally did some for hour two
on the Freedom Fiends. I'm happy. Not that we don't. We do sometimes.
News you can use.
You guys half did something good too. Before I came on. You said to only go to the police to file a police report, but you don't call them. You go to them.
Okay.
And clean your house before you do. Yep. It's all I need, fellas, is an I was wrong once a day from you. And I'll be fine.
I'm always right.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link at the top right, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it.
Walking Dead. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from the Outlet of Liberty. I'm going to do another one. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon High Atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite Lib Hair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license that allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Meow. Meow. Yeah,
and Michael Signal. Dean, James Weeks, Jim Jesus. Signal, go ahead.
Signal, the Signal app. We updated it. I updated it, and it does not have the wonderful band name generator anymore. That makes me very sad. You know what'd be fun? I think I should
write the developer. Bring it back.
Somebody should. Yeah, have it an option. There you go.
Yeah.
Somebody should sell a phone that never updated, like sell it on eBay for $1,000 because you could still generate band names with it because they were sweet band names.
They were.
What's
sweet
that game,
names.
Jim? There's people that were buying used like phones that never updated that had a game everyone loved. That was really big.
Oh, Flappy Bird.
Yeah.
Which you could actually, if you had Android, you could just download it and install it for free.
Yeah.
But the iPhone, if people wanted an iPhone that played Flappy Bird, you like had to
spend $3,000 on the phone that never, yeah.
When you could have just bought a $20 Android and installed the APK.
That describes Apple users perfectly right there. You know, they'll spend $3,000 on something to do something that they could spend $20 to.
On, it does describe Apple users perfectly.
Yeah. Yep. I still say the takeaway, and we should repeat this in this hour since there's two stations that don't have us there, that didn't have us in the first hour. If you want security over a phone or over text messages, buy a burner cell phone and install the app Signal on it. And never install anything else on that phone. And the best thing would be if the other person you're talking to has the same thing. And even better than that would be if you're both talking over a VPN. But that's asking a lot of people.
Well, putting a VPN on there and then also using that would be multiple layers of encryption, which could be unnecessary, but why not?
I'm behind seven different proxies right now.
Yeah. Actually, you're not, because we've tried Fiendphone on one proxy and it always has like a 5 second delay.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it doesn't work.
Well, yeah, because it takes time.
Yep. Not 5 seconds, but it adds latency that's noticeable. So more than already, that already makes us sound a little retarded.
But did you try it behind seven proxies?
So, James, you have some news you can use about how to get Michael, what's the guy's name that got killed in his car by the government, allegedly? Michael Hastings?
There's been multiple people who've been, I don't know which one you're talking about.
How do you not get Michael Hastings?
Well, here's the thing is, like, I noticed on my new phone that I was given by my sister. Thank you, Mary.
Nobody cares. And, okay.
I just want to shout out my sister. Cares. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, that's good. That's
and, well, the, when I was pairing it to my car's Bluetooth device, it asked me if I wanted to store that as a secured device, which what it would do was it would automatically input my encryption key for me when it connected to that Bluetooth device and unlock the phone. Don't do that, because all someone needs to do is stand near your car to gain access to your phone now. So do not enable that. As convenient as it would be to not have to put your encryption password in when you're in your car, don't do that, because it gets rid of security. Now someone
the idea of security is there's three things that can enter a lock. Then this has been this way since before computers and still is for now. The three ways you can get into something that's locked or encrypted in any way. It's something you are, something you have, and something you know. Something you are would be like biometric fingerprint or eye scan. Something you know would be a password. Something you have would be a key or a key fob or a USB key fob. Or in this case, you're replacing the security of something you know as a password for car with the something you have, which is the phone. And it's generally easier to get something you have than to get something you know. Because to get something you know, you either have to do a bunch of human engineering or beat you with a rubber hose. It's a problem, and the real thing is, like, give me convenience or give me death is the name of what is that thing? That, who said that? Nathan Hale? No, that was Jello Biafra. Another great American. Yeah, give me convenience or give me death. It was give me liberty, give me death. Give me convenience or give me death is the name of Dead Kennedy's record. And it's kind of accurate. I wouldn't say death, but give me convenience or give me theft. Maybe that's the show title right there. Because you're trying to, the idea of a car that uses an encrypted key to get in, you know, a password, is supposed to be more secure than using a regular key, but then turning it into something you have makes it less secure. Because, you know, if you drop your phone, someone can steal your whole life these days. Yeah. If it's not encrypted, you know, if it's not, it doesn't have a good password, and even if it does have a good password, they can get right into it. One of the things with old style passwords that aren't actual encryption, I found this out one time when I took a computer in to get it fixed, and I forgot that I didn't have the password with me. I'd written it down at home, and you know, the Windows password to get in, and the guy says, "Oh, that's okay," and he sticks this USB drive into it and types like three things, and he's in.
Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of stuff doesn't work, and I'm sure that's the case with electronic key fobs, you know, from automobile makers, because, you know, they don't want to be sued because you're stupid and lose the key and you can't access your car. Mm-hmm. So there's a backup somewhere, but here's a trick too. When you use, a lot of places make you use passwords that are not good. Like a lot of banks, for instance, you have to have a password between 8 and 10 characters. It has to have capital and small letters, and it has to have at least one non-alphanumeric. It has to have a number, a letter, a small letter, a big letter, and like an underscore or something. It's a lot more secure to have like a 30-word password that's a sentence that doesn't exist in pop culture anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, like, "Oh my God, will this orgasm never end? It's going on too long." You know, something that you'll remember. Yeah, that's my password. But it's easy to remember, a lot more easy than letters and numbers. Letters and numbers, like those ones the banks make you use, people write down, and that's how they get found. Mm-hmm. Someone goes in their apartment, you know, goes in their bedroom or their office when they're not looking and looks for the post-it note under the under the table, which is where people keep those, because I've worked in offices and they're like, oh yeah, just go use my computer, passwords on the post-it note under the desk. Also, they do social engineering where they call up the company, you know, they call, like, let's say someone's extension is 324, you're trying to get the extension, the other person you call and pretend to be Bill in the mailroom looking for Sally in marketing. You call Bill in marketing, he's like, oh, she went to lunch, here's her password, that kind of stuff. And the other thing, the other way people get hacked, you know, a lot, most hacking that happens now is not like this, like, you know, the, like,
with the green text, like, on the black background.
Yeah. It's like really bonehead Beavis and Butthead hacking, where they like do things like what I just talked
about.
Social
engineering.
Social engineering. Or, you know, like, remember, who was it? Paris Hilton, somebody hacked her BlackBerry and posted naked selfies of her because her password recovery phrase, she used, what's your favorite pet? And she used the dog's name that is her co-star on her reality show. That's another tip. With that kind of stuff where the bank says you have to, you have to have three recovery words and you can pick from, you know, five different things. Like, use the one that's like, you know, what's the town where you and your wife first met, and then put like the name of your dog or something, or the name of your neighbor's dog.
Put something different than what they're actually asking, or answer it in a different way than what
because that stuff can be found on Facebook. Like, a lot of people, you know, 5 minutes on their Facebook, you could find out what town they met their wife in.
Mm-hmm.
So what your mother's maiden name was.
Don't be a bonehead.
Was fine in the 80s, but now you can find that out.
My bank uses that as my thing, and my middle name is a matter of public record. I published it in a book before that was a thing. I said, like, you know, people ask me what my middle name means and blah, blah, blah. It's my mother's maiden name. It's the town in England, blah, blah, blah. And so I had to, like, go to, like, call the bank and go up two levels to get to, like, a, you know, somebody higher up to get them to change what they accepted for me to get into my bank account.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was their thing.
That's my bank.
That's their thing.
Well, my bank is in Kansas. Well, I probably said too much.
They don't
do it that way. They have like a over the phone password that I have to use, and I change that routinely too. So
here are the. I want to just go over just a few of this here, of the top passwords that were used. That you should not use.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. Here's the rank from 2000. This list is from 2015. Rank number 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That's the kind of combination someone would use on their luggage, right?
Yeah.
Spaceballs reference. Yeah. Hey, I use that on my luggage. I really got to change that.
Then rank number 2, password. Come on. Rank number 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Do not use these passwords, people. These are terrible, terrible passwords. Password number 4, QWERTY. Just QWERTY. Really? Come on. Rank number 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, these are just terrible passwords here. Rank number 25, Star Wars. You know. Rank number 14, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Like, these are just absolutely horrible passwords that no one should ever use.
In bad code that's encoded. Did you guys ever see The Sopranos?
No.
Yes.
Not
every single episode. Single episode.
What do you think of the ending? I was like, what the hell is that? Which is what you're supposed to think, but...
Well...
I watched that tonight.
Yeah, I mean... I didn't really mind it as much as people seem to make it out to be.
I had the same reaction some people had, though, which was, what the hell is that? And like a half hour later, I was giggling about it for some reason.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad.
You think Tony died?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. That's the
thing. You have no idea. Why is it called Made in America, too? Because the guy's hat? Meow.
Meow.
We don't know. That's all I got to say about that. Meow.
Never watched it because I didn't even like The Godfather.
Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
That's the show. Narcissism.
Here's Michael WD.
Yeah. So I decided there's only four rules in life. Would you like to hear them?
Let's hear them.
All right. And I know Jim's going to argue with this because he's going to sound self-helpy, and Jim hates the non-aggression principle as an absolute. And these aren't really absolutes. These are, I think if everyone tried to live by these as much as possible, the world would be a much better place. Okay, and especially the internet would be a much better place. One, do not initiate or accept aggression. Two, keep your word. Three, communicate clearly. Four, bad audio is a hate crime. That's it. I mostly agree with that. I also kind of think maybe don't be a Richard, but I left that off because I have to break that rule often when people break rules 2, 3, and 4. When they don't keep their word, don't communicate clearly, and when their audio is a hate crime. And I would expand.
Being a jerk has its benefits.
Being a jerk has its benefits, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In what, in business?
And everything. Be a jerk.
If you're serious, tell me. Tell me what the advantages are.
Well, people are always on about this non-violent communication stuff, which
animals and say kiss.
Yeah, that has its place. That has its place, but sometimes people just need a hard smack of truth in their face. Like, your audio is terrible.
Probably not physically, right?
But yeah, because I was really trying to be nice with a particular YouTuber who was trying to upgrade his audio quality, and being nice didn't work. He was just like, no, I'm just going to get that Yeti. I'm just going to get that Yeti. And I was like, you know what? I'm done being nice. You're an idiot.
I'm saying. That's why my 4.5 or my... department. You know, or my crossed out fifth is don't be a Richard, but I left it off because I have to break that rule because people don't keep their word, they don't communicate clearly, and their audio is a hate crime. And I would actually expand the bad audio is a hate crime to be good at your craft. You know, it's not if your craft isn't audio, you know, bad carpentry is a hate crime. Yep.
Yeah, so I totally agree with that.
So I'm going to write a book. I have not yet written my Liberty book. Everyone around me, even people who can barely read and write, have written a book. And actually, before I got into Liberty, I was writing books for a living. So I know how to write a book, and I know how to sell a book. And I think I'm going to write this book. I think I'm going to write a book called The Only Four Rules in Life, which will be controversial because Christians will say, no, Michael, there are 10. Someone recently said that to me. I posted this for There Are Only Four Rules in Life. And a new friend who I don't know how he became my friend. We were talking about this during the break. You know, some guy I have like one mutual friend with, and it's somebody who I don't know. Some older gentleman said, I'm sorry, Michael, you're wrong. There are 10 rules in life, you know. But really, I think you can break the 10 commandments down to most of them break down to keep your word and don't initiate aggression.
I think that's what George Carlin kind of distilled it down.
I think he got
him
down to three, didn't he?
Yeah, what were his three?
Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'll always be honest, truthful, and faithful. Don't steal and don't kill. I think it was somebody.
Yeah, something like that.
Down to something like that.
He was not a friend of the Christians.
Yeah.
No.
I don't mind the Christians.
Yeah. Is this response to the memo I sent out yesterday? Or no, you feel that way, right?
Yeah. I used to be one of these kind of like. Well, I didn't wear a fedora. I don't think it's going to show up anywhere. But yeah.
Everyone tracked down the picture.
Of the fedora. 100 Bitcoin.
Yeah, I kind of got started a little bit like early in my YouTube career, kind of bashing Christians and stuff like that.
Wearing the fedora. Oh man,
not wearing the fedora, not on camera.
We did put out 100 Bitcoin.
In his apartment in front of a mirror wearing a fedora. All right, so how have you changed? You were used to be
a fedora wearer.
Well, see, I thought it had its place early in the day when Christians or atheists had to be kind of in the closet about everything and the whole kind of there was like a campaign to get everybody to kind of admit that they were atheists on YouTube, which had its place, but that's over now. And I thought that the worst thing that could possibly happen to humanity at the time was religion, but now I just don't feel that way. And
atheists have become the new religion. They're like, yes. They're more pushy about it than religious people.
Yeah. Now they're far more annoying and far more determined because they just kind of now they've turned it into like, well, it's not just about atheism. Now it's about more than atheism. You got to be like a socialist on top of it.
They're thick atheists. Yeah. They're not thin atheists.
Yeah. So, I mean, like if you don't believe in God or you do believe God, that doesn't matter. What matters to me is whether or not you're going to be forcing me to pay taxes and be mean to me on the internet because I don't agree with you 100%.
I don't like statheists. Those people who make their God the state, but they don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Statheists.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
There's this funny meme that I just saw that I had another share right before the show. It's like, do you ever wonder what Fred Savage looked like in the Wonder Years? And it shows a picture of Rachel Maddow.
I could see it. Do you see the one of course, and you still think marijuana is not harmful? And the after picture is Dog the Bounty Hunter, and the before picture is some young woman. I forget, it's some comedian. But it's kind of cute.
I thought that was a great segue, and it was kind of ruined because you wanted to talk about narcissistic personality disorder. So I mentioned Rachel Maddow, and I thought that was like a good alley-oop. No. Okay.
What? No. What did I do?
Okay. Okay.
First of all, we're not talking about narcissistic personality disorder yet, if you remembered what I said during the break, but you never listened to me anyway, so. I said we're going to talk about two other things and then narcissistic personality. So your fabulous segue, it's premature segulation, I think is what they call that. I think there's
Can you say that on radio?
Medical cure for that. Yeah, I wanted you to tell your, you say you thought The Sopranos, you never saw it, Jim, but you said, why did you say you never watched it?
Because I wasn't a big fan of The Godfather.
No. Nothing like The Godfather, man.
Nothing like The Godfather.
It's okay. The Real Housewives in New Jersey crossed with The Wire or something. Actually, that joke would be better the other way. It's like The Wire crossed with The Real Housewives in New Jersey.
It's true. It is a good show, though.
It's one of the best shows ever. I think the top three shows are probably... My top three TV shows would be the same as a lot of top people's top three TV shows. Whereas my, like, yeah, that's okay shows are never like other people's. But, you know, some are so good, I can't not love them. I am burying the lead. Sometimes, though, burying the lead isn't really burying the lead. It's It's a pre-game, tease it a little bit. Say that on the radio. Yeah. Not in any special order. I think it'd be The Wire, Breaking Bad, and Sopranos.
I've never seen The Wire.
It's great. It's I think it's very influenced by Last Exit to Brooklyn, Selby novel. If you guys are playing the home bingo game, there's a bingo for you.
Hmm. Bingo. I'm almost at blackout.
Last night we tried to talk about the copyright at the end of the Bible, the most intense digital rights management ever, or probably analog rights management ever. Go ahead and read that there, James.
For I testify unto every man who heareth this book's prophecy, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of this prophecy, God shall take away part of his book of life and of the holy city out and from the things that are written in this book. Wow.
Man.
Talk about copyright.
Did you get all those words right? You better.
I believe so.
Okay, good. Yeah.
That's the kind of the King James Bible version, right?
King James.
You'll get the King James only people after you. Yeah,
this better have been the King James version. Oh, those people. This was the King James version, only. Right? Ian sent me the wrong version.
Explain the King version, King James only people.
There are people who believe that the King James version of the Bible is the only true word of God and everything else has been distorted. And yeah, there's some kind of language differences in some parts, but even if you go back and read the original text, there's some kind of differences as well.
I thought there's also people that believe you have to learn ancient Aramaic and read it.
Yeah, I know that's kind of a big thing.
Well, can you even
Islam.
Get the ancient Aramaic? Yeah, that's true. Isn't that like
no?
Only
but you can get it in Latin
of the Vatican,
which is the Latin version would probably be before the King James version, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the King James version was the translation from the foreign languages to English, so that English. The common man could read it.
So King James
written by the same with it. Written by the same person who wrote the book Demonology, because that's where
I don't know what that is. What's
that's that? King James's other book.
Is it really?
yeah, Demonology. It's pretty interesting. It goes into all the demons and stuff. That's yeah.
Well, I would say King James probably had narcissistic personality disorder. Bingo segue. So
yes,
let's
nice.
Let's talk about that. What is narcissistic personality disorder?
And I had it up and then I closed it because I'm a great
narcissistic personality disorder or NPD is a long-term pattern of abnormal behavior characterized by exaggerated feelings of self-importance, an excessive need for admiration, and a lack of understanding of others' feelings. What are you saying, Jim?
Nothing.
Were you saying? Oh, Molly. People affected by it often spend a lot of time thinking about achieving power or success or about their appearance. They often take advantage of people around them. This behavior typically begins in early adulthood and occurs across a variety of situations. You know, there's actually a reference to this in The Sopranos that I find really interesting is that so Tony Soprano, the head of this modern mafia crime family in New Jersey, you know, it takes place when it was made, which was late 90s to early 2000s. He definitely has all of the symptoms of narcissistic personality disorder. But I mean, you come to like him in the program, even though he's heinous and does terrible things. But, you know, I mean, I actually cried real tears when the thing ends and you're pretty sure he's dead or maybe just because it's over. Aww. both times I saw it. Once was like when it first came out.
Twice?
And now, Jim, do you ever cry in movies, Jim?
TV yes. shows? You know what? Up is the worst movie ever. And it's because that 30-minute intro to the movie where about the wife, it was a form of emotional terrorism.
I don't know what this movie is. Is that a cartoon that about was, a balloon?
The beginning was really a tearjerker.
Yeah.
Wow. They usually save that for the end of the second act or the beginning. No, of the
movie. I know.
They start off right with the tears in that movie.
Interesting. Yep. Did you cry, James?
I did.
You had to think about whether you wanted to admit that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Took a minute. But you know that on radio, the software I used to edit, the software I used to edit that, though, will cut that gap to almost nothing.
Good.
So you won't be thinking about it quite as long.
Good.
But so Tony Soprano's seeing a psychiatrist during this, and she is also seeing a psychiatrist, and then ends up dating a psychiatrist. And, you know, she basically accidentally breaks her oath and tells her boyfriend / psychiatrist who her famous client is, you know, Tony Soprano. And it kind of gets out among her person, her shrink friends, and they're having dinner one day talking about it. And they talk about this new study that came out that says that not only can sociopaths or narcissists not be helped by talk therapy, it actually makes them better narcissists and sociopaths.
It's kind of funny because there's a narcissistic personality person that we know that he's always tells people to go and get talk therapy. Yeah.
Oh, the self-appointed talk therapist? Yeah.
He just wants people to be good narcissists.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that most politicians fall into this. Why don't we get on to read the signs and symptoms part? James, okay. You have that pulled up,
people
or Jim?
People with narcissistic personality disorder are characterized by persistent grandiosity. I think I pronounced that wrong. But excessive need for admiration. Grandiosity. Okay. Excessive need for admiration and a disdain and lack of empathy for others. These individuals often display arrogance, a sense of superiority, and power-seeking behaviors. Narcissistic personality disorder is different from having a strong sense of self-confidence. People with NPD typically value themselves over others to the extent that they disregard the feelings and wishes of others and expect to be treated as superior, regardless of their actual status or achievements. In addition, people with NPD may exhibit fragile egos, an inability to tolerate criticism, and a tendency to belittle others in an attempt to validate their own superiority. According to the DSM-5, individuals with NPD have most or all of the following symptoms, typically without... let's just read it. The top nine here, what do we got? Grandiosity, with the exceptions of superior treatment from others. Fixated on fantasies of power, success, intelligence, attractiveness, etc. Self-perception of Cheney. Being unique, superior, and associated with high status people and institutions.
Obama.
Needing constant admiration from others.
Nancy Pelosi.
A sense of entitlement to special treatment and obedience from others.
Jeff Berwick.
Exploitative of others to achieve personal gain.
Jeff Berwick.
unwilling to empathize with others' feelings, wishes, or needs.
Molyneux.
Michael Dean.
Intensely envious of others and the belief that others are equally envious of them. And
Kokesh.
Pompous and arrogant demeanor.
Every celebrity ever, and every politician. The thing is, the thing to think about is to try to wrap your head around this and really find this kind of, you know, identify this kind of person in your life is... It pretty much every politician has most or all of these symptoms, and pretty much every petty con man has all of these. And same with people who kind of make a career out of petty crime. Like not necessarily everyone who commits a crime. Like some people might commit crime because drug addiction or poverty or whatever. But people who get a kick out of it and make a life out of it, like professional car thief, professional, you know, burglar, that kind of person, they all have this too. They all think they're above, not just above the law, but like above morality. Like morality doesn't apply to them. Was that one of the things here?
No.
It is. It should be.
No, not according to the DSM-5.
Yeah, well, that's something that's approved by the government. So there. I mean, it's approved by a board, you know, of psychiatrists, but It's pretty much a government. The thing about psychiatry is it's good and there's a lot of good in it, but it also is very wrapped up in the government. So it's hard to, I mean, I kind of think that there's a reason someone like Molyneux should do what they do. There should be unlicensed talk therapists who are good at it, but Molyneux is evil and horrible and abuses people, allegedly. There should be that, though. So, someone invent that. It's the Freedom Fiends. Unlicensed talk therapy.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Yeah. All politicians suffer from narcissistic personality disorder. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember hearing that a lot of politicians, like when it looks like they're going to win, their party kind of sends them to classes or like one-on-one, you know, they bring people in and kind of
allegedly
give them lessons to, like, there's people who do this for a living. They like help politicians become hide their sociopathy and become like more palatable to the public. And I remember they wanted to do this to Trump and he refused. Like, everybody else accepts it. He's like, I don't need any stinking, you know, the president that still uses an unsecured Android phone off the shelf.
Wait.
Wait, what?
He does yes. Do that?
Yes. Oh, the Android phone? You don't know about that? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, the Secret Service is really upset because they can't get him to use, you know, the phone they provide for the president. Like, even Obama, like, he wanted to use a BlackBerry, so they, you know, hotwired his BlackBerry to be totally secure. But no, the guy who has the nuclear launch codes is like playing Angry Birds and downloading apps off the Google Play Store.
And probably
doesn't know the internet very well. So I wouldn't be surprised if he is someone who'd be likely to click on a link that looks like the Google Play Store, but isn't.
You know, you can't see it on radio right now, but I'm kind of like face-palming here. I'm face-palming. I kind of buried my face in my palm there. That's just, come on, Trump.
Yeah. I don't usually care what the president does, but actually that bothers me far more than any of his policies.
That does. It's
the fact that, you know, anyone from Al-Qaeda to Putin to like two 16-year-olds in New Jersey in their parents' basement could get all of the nuclear codes by sending the wrong Angry Birds link to that guy.
No, it's really simple. You just got to hack into his microwave and watch Trump that way.
Some patriot should hack into his phone and fix that and close all of the holes in it, allegedly.
or get them and sell them as recreational McNukes.
For entertainment purposes only.
You don't have it ready. Yeah.
For entertainment purposes only.
So read a little bit more about NPD. It usually develops in adolescence or early childhood. Take it from there, James.
Yeah, Jim. It is not uncommon for children and teens to display some traits similar to NPD, but these are typically transient. I don't know. Without
transient.
Meeting full
transient. Like a homeless
transient,
guy.
Like a homeless. All right. Like a homeless guy. Transient. Without me, I've only ever read it in books. All right. Give me a break. But these are typically transient words without meeting full criteria for diagnosis. True NPD symptoms are pervasive, apparent in vigorous situations, and rigid and remaining Rigid and remain again only read in books.
Hey, jump down rigid to associated features. It's more
pronunciations are just
people
spooks.
With NPD tend to exaggerate their skills and accomplishments. Molyneux, Trump, yep. As well as their level of intimacy with people they consider high status.
That's weird.
What, like so pretending they know people they don't?
Pretending they know people in high status.
Yeah,
that's yeah. Like
I've seen that.
There's a lot of people who do name dropping.
I name drop, but that's not the same thing. Like selling heroin to Perry Farrell doesn't mean I have a relationship with him. He doesn't remember my name, probably. You know.
Yeah.
Once, I allegedly.
I don't know. That seems like exaggerating a level of intimacy.
What, exaggerating down? I'm exaggerating. Like, he probably doesn't. I'm being overly humble. I'm humble bragging the name brag. Oh yeah, that guy. Although Dave Navarro does know the name of my band Bomb because it was tattooed on his girlfriend's on the back of her neck, so he got to see that often.
Well,
you know, the guitar player for the Flaming Lips still quotes your band of being one of his biggest influences. So even to this yep. day.
And I told you that, like, yeah, man, like, I was kind of bragging that to you, because you liked that band.
And then Embryonic I found, like, is the best album ever. I'll
and then I
you.
Found an interview and we said it and sent it to you.
Yeah.
When you read that, were you like, wow, maybe Michael Dean's not a big fat liar?
No, I already knew sociopath. He weren't a big fat liar.
Maybe he's not. That's like a narcissistic personality disorder.
Maybe, but I was like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
I knew it, all but right. Now I kind of knew you were right.
Don't trust politicians.
They have NPD.
They're just like common con men. They're like used car salesmen that have the nuclear codes. That's the title.
The recreational the title. Nukes.
Used car salesmen that have the nuke codes. That's good.
Yeah.